Welcome to the Imperfect Podcast. Nate discusses various topics through the eyes of a young Christian. The goal is to invite others to learn about Christianity through casual conversations with wonderful guests, especially people who want to grow in their faith.
Maybe I want to be the passenger princess. You know what I'm saying? Drive me around.
Before this episode begins, remember that none of us are perfect and that we are here to learn and help each other grow. Feel free to donate to Nate through Cash App at Imperfect Podcast. Make sure to follow the Imperfect Podcast on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. We hope you take something great away from this episode. Enjoy!
Hello everyone, again. Welcome back to another episode. I'm back with a familiar face again. Kamari, go ahead and reintroduce yourself one more time. Tell the people something special about you, what you do, the good stuff.
Good stuff. You know what? I worked on this a little bit since the last time, so I was like, that wasn't good enough. My name is Kamaria Kirk. I have a podcast named Kirk with Kamaria Kirk. I also just started a foundation, Kirk_Foundation on Instagram. And I feel like that's what's interesting. Tune into my podcast for sure. And follow me on my foundation page.
So you brought the foundation, so let's go and talk about that. Wait, no, first, I need a verse of the episode day. You can go and go first.
Okay. So my verse is going to be out the first book of Peter, verse Peter 4:10. And I have to read it right. Yeah, because I can't butcher this one. Verse 10. And I also think, you know what? I got to do 10 through 11. Okay. The first book of Peter, chapter 4, verse 10 to 11. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen.
That goes into my verse, kind of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 9. The whole chapter 9 correlates, but I'll just stick to 6 through 9. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So that each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. As is written, he has dispersed abroad and he has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. So if you haven't picked up yet, we're talking about reaping and sowing again. Talking about giving back. And you brought up your foundation. In last episode at the end, we talked about, I don't remember how much we talked about. We talked about giving back to the homeless, stuff like that, giving back to the people. Our specialty, something we are both passionate about. As the Bible says, give to the poor, give with a giving heart, be a cheerful giver. I just want to talk about specifically the homeless first. The Bible talks a lot about giving back to the poor. And something I talked about in one of my Bible studies is when you give back, you may think of giving money when giving back can also be giving knowledge, biblical wisdom, clothes. There, it doesn't have to be money. There's some people that aren't poor also need help. Some people need biblical knowledge, guidance, stuff like that. But in our case, we're talking about giving back to the poor. I just know from my experience growing up, I lived, grew up wealthily. I never had to worry about money in my life. I'm grateful that I was born to a family with two hardworking parents and grandparents that provide comfortable lives for my sister and I. And as I grew up, I took from them their giving nature. I would notice how they would make financial blessings for other people, whether it be my friends, families, giving back to the poor. That's something I picked up on. I just love giving back to those in need or the homeless. A lot of people won't give back to somebody homeless on the street because they'll say, oh, I don't have any cash, as they're walking into 7-Eleven. I'm not the type to roll my window down at a red light and just give money to somebody with a sign, but I will have some sort of compassion in my heart for them. to say, I need to pray for them. I want them to be where I am, driving in a car to go get food or go see friends and family. It's just that I like that I have that 2 Corinthians 9 cheerful giver heart. I actually want to help people. I don't see it as a chore. And Mara, you have the same, well, I think it's safe to assume that you have the same insight, because you talked about opening a homeless shelter for the homeless and actually helping them get help, counseling, stability in their lives. So Tuck, can you tell us a little bit about like your plan for that, what you see and how you want to help the homeless in general?
Yeah. So honestly, I feel like I kind of base my, I want to say base my whole life on this, but like even with me being in school now, my thesis and everything I'm coming up with has to do in relation to the homeless. So it has to do in relation to my foundation, which is mainly for homeless people. So my plan for that, I took a lot of time to think about what homeless people really need and what could benefit them the most, more than just giving them cash on the street or more just going to a homeless shelter and help feeding them. Those are very beneficial. That can definitely help them, yes, in a lot of ways, because that's things that they need. That's things they needed to be provided with. But in the long run, how does that help them? They've got another meal in their stomach. That's how it helps them in the long run. But in the long, long run, like, are they just going to be doing this for the rest of their life? Like, I just noticed a cycle. Like, nothing's really, I don't see a lot of progress when it comes to homelessness. I just see more and more homelessness out on the streets. I just see it happening more, and I try to come up like with the pattern of why is this happening? Why is it happening? And I feel like it's because the same thing is being done. You know, when nothing changes, nothing changes. So if all you're going to do is, yes, there's people out here helping the homeless. Yes, they're feeding them. Yes, you're giving them money on the street. But what are more ways you can help them? Like you said, there's multiple ways to give. When people think about giving back or even giving to the homeless specifically, they just think it has to do with money. But to me, I feel like just trying to come up with more ways that could benefit them more, I would say, okay, what could help them now in this scenario? Like, what could help them actually get out of homelessness? Like, my goal is to try to end homelessness, not just, it seems like it's just maintained right now. Like, right now it's just maintained. Yeah, there's resources out there, and they're just maintaining it, like, trying not to let it escalate, but how can we just get rid of it altogether? And I just came up with the fact of coming up with a system where homeless people can come into my shelter. Still working on a name for that. I don't want to call it a shelter because it's not just your typical shelter. But, yes, they can come in and get shelter. But essentially what you're doing is when you come in here, I want to have people who can help, like, get them tidied up. So they're going to need a bath. They're going to need new clothes. They're going to need some sort of coaching for sure to show you, okay, how can I get a job? Because there's jobs everywhere. Like, literally, I signed up for a job years ago, and they're still, like, messaging me. I'm still getting multiple jobs. Like, there's jobs everywhere, and jobs are free. You just have to get the interview and then get the job. So I'm like, why can't a homeless person just go in somewhere and get this job? That's because when they walk into this place of establishment, they're going to look at them and be like, no, like, you can, you know, homeless people just have this certain look to them where it's like, oh, they're, you know, people judge them based off of that. So with my shelter, with what I want to do with the homeless is I want you to come in here. We're going to coach you up. We're going to get you an ID. And then I really want you to get out of this place. Love you, care for you, but you need to leave and go start your life and go build something. And then after that, give more of your own, you know? So that's kind of my idea for homeless.
Have you ever been to a homeless shelter?
Oh, yes.
Like, more, have you been more than once?
Have I been more than once or been to, like, multiple different ones?
Both.
Yeah. Okay, so I've been to multiple different ones, more than once, yes. I would say about two, a couple times.
So I told you this off record, but I'll go and say it on the podcast for, like, the first time. Growing up, I was a Boy Scout, and if you know what Boy Scout is, the end goal is Eagle Scout. And to get Eagle Scout, you have to complete a community service project. So mine was, it was called hashtag hygiene bag, where my goal was to fill 300 plastic bags full of toiletries to donate to a homeless shelter. And after a few donation collections, standing outside grocery stores asking for donations, I got $1,000 in cash, over 500 individual items, and I passed my goal of 300 and got either 324 or 321. So I went to the homeless shelter with a group of people, and I knew going in it was going to be eye-opening, but when I got in there, one, the people were very nice. The homeless people were very nice. I really love that. And I like that you're not trying to call it a shelter, because the place that I went to was in Washington, D.C. It's called the Community Create for Nonviolence. And obviously, that doesn't give off homeless shelter. It gives off a loving community, which I really like. So went in there, handed the bags out, talked to a few people. But now that you're talking about, and I also have like the same thoughts about actually helping these people getting their lives started. Going into a homeless shelter, I saw that they were employees, but they were just there to do a job. It wasn't like people there to just help these people. It's more like you said, they're just maintaining homelessness, providing a place for these people to stay long term. I have no idea if they're allowed to stay there as long as they want, but it's just like, I don't want to say it's a jail for homeless people, but it literally looks like a jail, like, and it's just homeless people sitting there. So my thoughts are like, what are these people going to do after this? Like, yeah, they have a shelter, but where are the people working here? Why isn't like government funding? Like, why isn't there more being put towards this, stuff like that? I don't know too much information like on government funding, but I do know, like you said, homelessness just isn't getting any, like, there's no solution being found. It's just homeless shelter. The numbers are increasing too. So coming from a Christian perspective, I think one issue is people think the homeless need money, and they do, obviously. But what they also need is a good relationship with good people. We don't know who these people are, but we do know they're homeless, and we don't know if they have any connection with family or friends. We need those relationships in life with family, friends, and God in order to prosper. We need some sort of companionship. So I like what your idea is to coach these people, help them, love them, but at the same time, get them out and get their lives going. But sometimes we need to remember these people have no emotional support from a family, friend, and their main thought is money. And as a Christian, we shouldn't always prioritize money, even though it is an important factor in our lives, but we need to realize money isn't the only driving factor in lives.
Mm. Yeah. And I'm actually so glad that you said that about the workers and how it seems like they're just there to do a job. Now, necessarily, I feel like, because a lot of these places are places where people volunteer, but it still doesn't seem like these people are, you look at volunteers, it's like, okay, they're here to help, but I've noticed a lot of volunteers who are there just to check it off their box or just to add it to their resume. Like, there's no genuine help. I have met a lot of people who genuinely want to help, but I've also met a lot of people who I just got the vibe of, like, you actually don't want to be here. It seems like you're just doing this for something else. You're not doing this pure out of love. You're not doing this to actually help somebody. You're just trying to help yourself at the end of the day. And honestly, that's not going to work. And coming from a Christian perspective, if you're going into something, if you're giving, so God says to give enthusiastically, he says to give cheerfully, he just says to give with love and give with kindness. But if you give out of guilt, if you give repulsively, if you give just out of a kind of hardened heart, like if you give out of a hardened heart way, it's not going to work. So if you're going into something thinking God's going to bless you for giving, but you're giving out of anger, you're giving out of guilt, if you're giving to get something out of it, it's not going to work, because you're not giving cheerfully, you're not giving enthusiastically, you're not giving thoughtfully. And I feel like we do need more people who actually genuinely want to give out of pure love, you know. And definitely what you said about relationships, family, friends. The most growth I've ever did myself was, of course, through God, but God places people in your life and they kind of, they're shepherds from God to you. So I feel like, yeah, having those relationships with a homeless person could help them in a lot of ways. Like, I met this one, even just talking to homeless people, I feel like they're so frowned upon, and it's so sad to me because people just pass them all day, every day. But people have their different ways of giving. Like you said, you're not a red light stopper and roll down your window kind of guy, but you will notice them. You will take that into account, and you will pray for them, and you will feel for them. A lot of people don't feel anything at all. And I know I'm probably crazy, but I am a red light stopper, and I do roll my window down. And but I do that to try to, I'm such an empathetic person. I really am. And I'm so sensitive, and I just feel for people deeply. I really do. So I wonder, just with me trying to come up with ways on how to help them more, instead of being like, okay, what do they need more of? I just try to realize what they don't have right now and then fill that gap first. So they don't have a lot of people talking to them every day. They're not really in human contact. They're around, they're surrounded by millions of people every day when they're out on the street, but there's no human contact, and that's so bizarre to me. So I do try to stop every now and then to say stuff, or just even to get their name. Like, there's this one guy, his name is Richard, because I asked him what his name was, and he sits at the same homeless people. They had their spots for sure. I noticed the same homeless people in certain spots, and I just see him there all the time. He's just sitting there, you know, just sitting there. So then I'm always turning that corner. He's always by this Chick-fil-A. Of course, people go to Chick-fil-A. I go to Chick-fil-A. I always be like, so yeah, I stopped one day. Hi, what's your name? You know, his name is Richard. And from now, I'm sorry. Where was I going? Okay, yeah. After I found out his name was Richard, now every time I see him, hey, Richard, how are you? Like, they just want to feel like people. I feel like people don't look at them as people. This is a person with a beating heart. We all bleed the same. This is, you know, they have a brain. This is a real person. People do not look at them as people, and that makes me so sad. And I can go on and on about that. But yeah, now I see him. Hi, Richard. How are you, Richard? There's also a grocery store right down the street. Whenever I go to get my groceries, it's just out of kindness of my heart, I get a little bit for Richard. It was cold one day. I brought a blanket. Hi, Richard. Here you go. Every time I see him, every time I approach him, I say his name because he's a person. And I want you to know that I feel for you and that I get you and that I know you. And I'm not just one of these other people that just pass you every day on the street like you're not here, like you're invisible. And also to add on with people and how you said, how you was talking about how you grew up and like not having to worry about anything, but seeing people in your family be such givers, I feel like that's where I get it from. I'm blessed to say that I have three grandmas and three. I feel like I get that from them. Like, I really learn a lot from them just looking at my grandparents. They're just such good people. Like, my grandma, she lives in, her and my grandpa, they live in Gary. She owns a barbershop. They own multiple properties. They rent out properties to people for a very, very low discounted price just because it's hard out there right now. And there's not a lot of people who can afford certain stuff. So they actually buy property so they can kind of cut the price a little bit for these people to be able to afford. Or my grandparents who live here, my grandma goes to the shelter 4 times a week to make boxes for people in her neighborhood, for people at the church, for even people she just see on the street. She literally has boxes in her car of pantry items just to give out to random people on a daily basis. My grandpa, he's a deacon. He spreads the gospel very, very well. He brought a lot of people to Jesus. My other grandpa, he's also very spiritual. He sends everybody, his family members, everybody, his family, Bible verses. Every single day, doesn't miss a day. He makes sure that we're getting the word of God in every single day. So my grandparents play a lot of roles, but they're all the same because they're all givers and they all serve a specific purpose. And I don't know, I feel like that's definitely where I get it from, but I love it. I love when you said that because I feel the same exact way about my grandparents.
It's funny that you brought up talking, like that you talked to Richard. And like, that's important because when I went to the homeless shelter and I brought that group of people, it was me, some of my family members, some of my friends, some of their parents. And I remember when we got there, we stood in the lobby, we handed bags out to people. And one of my friend's dads stood there for an hour talking to the same guy. Like, I would go from first floor to second floor, first floor to third floor, first floor to fifth floor. And every time I come back to the first floor, them two were just standing in the corner, and he's happily having a conversation with him. And when I left, I knew that was the most important part of the day. Like, the fact that he took an hour to just sit there and listen and talk to that guy patiently, lovingly, and, like, no, like, hate in his heart for it at all. Like, oh my gosh, this guy's just chatting so much. Like, when we shut up, like, I really think that was the most important part, that he sat there and just listened and talked back. And I think that's kind of, I kind of want to tie that into just loving people unconditionally. Because another thing I experienced during that donation process is when I was standing outside of a grocery store, I was like all these people walk in. So me and my friends were talking to random people, hey, you trying to give back to us so we can get to the homeless? So there's this one guy, me and my friend walked up to him, or he walked up to us. We were like, hey, we're collecting donations for the homeless. You want to give back to the homeless? He was like, oh, I don't know. Do you have a kidney to give back to me so I don't die? And I was just like, oh, I don't. Sorry, though. And it was just me matching his energy, but it's just the fact that you kind of put yourself first, and I get it. It's tough. Like, failing kidney, death's upon you. Okay, I get it. That's rough. But at the same time, like, to be that selfish in that moment while two 13-year-old boys are trying to do something great, and you're just, like, bitter towards everybody, that's just not – that's one problem that I see in the world. And also, I mentioned this last episode about reaping and sowing. Selfish people get selfish consequences when they have the mindset of people don't give back to me, so why should I give back to them? And that's quite literally the reason why, because if you're not giving to other people, then how are other people going to give back to you or see that you're a loving person? Yeah. How are you going to reap what you sow if you're not, if you're giving out all this negativity, how do you expect to get back positivity? It just doesn't match. What else? I lost it. Dang. Yeah. But, oh, the car rolling down the window. So, you're right. People do have their spots. Like, when I'm back at home in Maryland, I always drive on the same highway, stop at the same lights and stuff. I'll see the same guy in a wheelchair. He's not even begging. He's just sitting there just chilling.
Yeah.
But I'm so careful about it, because I just remember this. I've seen it a few times. I was driving down the highway, and there's this guy at the light, and he was like, hey, can you give back? And the person driving gave back. Two lights ahead, we see the same dude get out of a car and go to the light. And we're like, oh, scammer. So, like, the thing with homeless people is some people, one, they'll pretend to be homeless, and two, when you give them their money, you don't know if they're going to use it for good or bad. Like, some people end up homeless due to drug addiction and just making the wrong decisions. So I understand that some people are just scared to give their money for a bad cause. But at the same time, I think, like, from a Christian perspective, you have to have an open mind with caution and just see this as another opportunity to give, show the love of God to others. Just do something nice. If you give $1, what's $1 gonna do to you? Mm-hmm. And they can't. If you can't do much with $1, neither can they. All they're gonna do is stack it up. You can too, but you have a better chance of making it back because you seem to be more stable than a homeless person.
Yeah.
So some people just, I don't like their mindset about some things, but yeah.
Yeah. So with the I'm just glad you brought that up. With the dude, the matching energy thing, him coming up to you guys, you were trying to raise money. Facts about what you said when he was like, nope. Because you said he'd be like, he was saying nobody gives to him, so why should he give? Kind of.
Yeah, that's kind of like, it's kind of, that just seems like what his mindset is. And I don't know what he was thinking, but that's just, I see that kind of mindset in people like him and other people are just saying, like, people don't do nice things for me, so I'm not going to do nice things for the world or other people.
Yeah, those people honestly scare me. So what people don't understand is, coming from a Christian perspective, so if you don't know God, you wouldn't understand this, and I totally get that. Whatever you need more of, whatever you need to give more of. So if you want something, you need to give that something. You want more money? You need to give more money. You want more time? You need to give more of your time. You want more energy? You need to give more of your energy. And it wouldn't make sense to people who aren't rooted in Christ, because, like you said, they just feel like the world owes them something. Just because they're not getting something, they're not going to give it back to other people. You don't just take it from, it's just like going to the gym. You gain more muscle by using more muscle. So if you want something done for you, if you want more things, you need to do the things that you want more of. But you also need to look at your why. So don't do it. Don't make that your sole reason. Oh, I'm going to get more money so I can get more money. That shouldn't be your mindset at all. That shouldn't be your mindset at all. Yes, you will receive more money for giving more money. But like I said, it's not going to work if you're giving impulsively out of guilt with a hardened heart. But if it's thoughtfully, cheerfully, enthusiastically, God will reward you for that with more, you know. But so people just need to take that into account as well. And also, you mentioned something. Sorry, my mind's going blank on me. There is a wrong way. Okay, like I was saying, there is a wrong way to do that. So that just goes with like planting seeds. So like I said, you want more of something, you need to give more of something. There is a wrong way to plant a seed. Same thing about what I said. If you're not giving cheerfully, if you're giving the opposite of cheerfully, then it just wouldn't work out for you. Same thing. You've planted a seed wrong, you're not going to get the growth from that. There is a wrong way to plant a seed, and people don't understand that either. Oh, that's what you talked about. Okay, person on the street. What else are we saying? I'm sorry, we be getting into it, so it be giving me a minute. I be having a lot to say, and then I lose it because my brain be going. Oh, okay. So I get that reason why 100% why a lot of people don't give because of they don't know where their money's going to. Like if they give to somebody on the street. And they might use it for drugs. And honestly, I'd be cautious of that too. And I used to be a lot more cautious than I am now. But then I had to remember, okay, but who am I though? Like God, whatever, I'm the giver. I'm the one who's doing the giving. I can't really worry about where it's going to. I just know that, like, I just know what I did. And if that's what you choose to use your money for, God's going to get you for that one. And if you're being dishonest, God's going to get you for that one. He's going to worry about that. But I know I gave to you because I saw a need. At least I thought I saw a need. And I felt like you could use this. But if you're being dishonest about it, then just know you're going to get a get back for that one, whatever. So, but I do get it though. And that's definitely happened to me before. It was this boy, and kids can get me every single time. I promise you they can. Like, and people use their kids and it makes me so upset. This little boy came up to me at the gas station. I was so sad. I almost started crying because like, why? Anyways, this little boy came to me at the gas station. Just ask for money. He was saying he doesn't have a way to get home and he's hungry and all this. But what I didn't notice was until after he walked over, it was a group of kids by the entrance of the gas station, just like hanging around talking. And then he looked their exact age, but I didn't see that. I just seen him like talking to me and looking all sad. I was like, oh yeah, of course. Like, here you go. Give him $10. He walked away. As I'm driving off, I see him join this other group and they all just started like cheering. I was like, oh, and then they walked in the gas station. I was like, okay, that's where my money's going. But I was like, maybe he really did need that. Maybe he was just trying to buy, but I don't know. But I had to like get over that. Cause for a second I was like, dang, like people really be, I don't like the feeling of being used. So when you're being dishonest to me, like it kind of upsets me. Like, I don't like feeling used. I went through a whole thing where I felt like I was being used. I don't want to feel like I'm being used again, but I had to remember, I am being used. God's using me for a greater purpose. So if that's how they took that, God, he told me he was going to handle that. I had to remember, I am being used, but in the right ways. You know, I gave cheerfully. I gave enthusiastically. I gave thoughtfully, thinking that I was helping you. But, I mean, I was helping you. But, you know, so it's just a lot of discernment in that. And yeah.
See, I like what you said, like, about being dishonest and, like, there's going to be a get back, because the Bible says leave vengeance to God, and we shouldn't take it upon ourselves to get our own vengeance. And I live by that principle a lot, because I know a lot of times I know when people are dishonest to me and using me and taking advantage of me, especially when I'm giving. So in my mind, like, every time I have a feeling, or at least I know when somebody's taking advantage of me, in my mind, I'm like, yeah, it really sucks that you just did it to me, and I can't believe you just did that. And I won't tell anybody that. But in my mind, I know God's going to handle that. And for one, they have to live with the guilty conscience of doing something wrong. And lying to yourself about doing something wrong, that's a pain that's just hard to get over. And people may usually do that, but that's just a conscience they got to live with. That's a consequence that they got to live with, and that's something God's going to, that's something they got to answer to God about. Yeah. So, I mean, I try to be more cautious of when people take advantage of me, because I just take note of who does what, because they'll get me. Like, I'm such a giver, like, I'll forgive so much that I'll forget. That's something you can't do. Forgive, but don't forget. And sometimes I be forgetting.
It's so, like, easy.
Yeah, like, when you're such a, the kindest people always get taken advantage of, and it's so upsetting. But the good part is we did our part.
Yeah.
We cheerfully, lovingly gave. They didn't do their part, and they took advantage of us and did something wrong. And that's up for, I leave that to God.
Yeah.
Dang, there was one last thing I wanted to say. Oh my gosh. That's so bad.
Dang, let me fill in your gap.
Yeah, go ahead. Hopefully it comes back.
I was just going to say that, kind of relating to your point, I always used to look at myself and be like, I just used to question why I was the way I was a lot. Because I used to think it was a problem that I just wanted to give so much. And I, like, genuinely did. I genuinely always wanted to. But I used to be like, because I was always so taken advantage of, and it was so easy for me to be quote-unquote used. And yes, I would forget the things that people did to me because I'm such a giver. Because I really believe in forgiveness to a point where I literally forget it. But like you said, don't forget it. But it's kind of hard too when you're, you know, constantly practicing forgiveness and giving. But yeah, I just used to question myself a lot, and I really had to just read up on it and talk to God about it. Like, why? I literally asked, why am I like this? But I was questioning my gift of giving. I was questioning the gift that God gave me of being a giver. Because I was always used, and I always just felt bad. Like, why are people making me feel bad for doing something that I feel like is good? And what we forget is, yeah, God loves a cheerful giver. God is supposed to, because it made me feel good, but people made me feel bad about it. So when I give, it makes me feel so good, but people make me feel bad about it. And that just always used to bother me. And then I always used to question myself, like, okay, why do I feel so bad about, I mean, why do I feel so good? Why do I feel so good about giving, but people make me feel bad about it? But we're supposed to feel good. We're literally supposed to feel good about giving. It's not a selfish act to give in any way. It's supposed to make us feel good because God is the giver. And it makes God feel good when he gives because he's, you know, he's doing us a service. He's doing something for us, and that makes him feel good because we feel good. You know, so when you give to somebody, you make them feel good. That makes you feel good in return as well. And we're like Jesus in that aspect, because Jesus was a cheerful giver, and Jesus felt good when he gave as well. So I just used to always have to tell myself that, like, God wants us to feel good for giving. We're supposed to feel good for giving. We don't have to apologize for that. We don't have to feel like it's a problem. Nothing's wrong with us for being such a giver. Even though people make us feel bad about it, okay, God's going to take care of that, like you said. Like, that's their problem. They have their own spiritual battles that they're going against. We can still remain givers. We can still remain with the gift that God gave us of giving. And giving is an act of worship. It says in the Bible, giving is an act of worship. We all were put here to give something, you know? And at the end, it's just going to get returned back to us. Like, I like to say, do your giving while you're living so you know where it's going. Like, he's storing up eternal rewards for us in heaven. So when it's all over, oh, we're going to have the accolades for the heaven. He's keeping them for us. It's all there. So I know where my gift of giving is going. I know exactly where it is. So nobody can make me feel bad about that anymore. At least it's not going out in the world, you know, but yeah. So it's like, yeah. Oh, I just started. Sorry. But yeah, that's just something I really had to talk myself out of and like remember.
I think the biggest lie the devil will tell us is we're too nice. Because like you said, I question myself too. I would always say, am I too nice? Do I got to start being more picky, more bitter towards people because they like treat me wrong? Yeah. But that's really not true at all. And I hear that with guys and relationships a lot. They'll go like, oh my gosh, I'm the nice guy. Why is the nice guy always coming last? Like, girls always want the toxic guy. And I ain't gonna lie, I had those thoughts too. But what you gotta realize is you can't stop being nice, because that's like always saying, you're being a very good person, you're being a good human, you're being a good Christian. And just because your kindness is rejected doesn't mean it's being used in the wrong way. When it comes to like being nice towards people, like you said, our like what we do, it's going towards a greater reward. We're doing this for a greater cause.
Yeah.
People that don't believe in God won't understand that. People are gonna take advantage of us, but we followed the Bible. We gave cheerfully. We tried to help somebody, even though they didn't receive it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
Even with relationships, like guys will say, "I'm not like I gotta stop being nice and I gotta be toxic." No, that doesn't mean you're getting rejected by the right. You're probably getting rejected so that God's directing you into the right direction towards the right people, whether it be a friendship or a relationship. And last thing I'll say, I found my thought. Reaping and sowing, giving back. The important thing to know about that is, pretty sure you said this already, but it's not about the amount that you do. It's about how what your heart feels. Just like the Bible says, God loves a cheerful giver. You got to have that feeling in your heart. And the most important thing, it also says in 2 Corinthians 9, like the most important part is one, well, it's two things. One, God's people were given their needs. And two, they felt the love of God. So the goal is to show these people with reaping and sowing what the love of God is like to spread his kingdom. It's not give to somebody 10 times, get back 10 times. It's about how you do it, how you go about it.
Yeah. No, for sure. I love that. Yeah. And you can tie reaping and sowing to every aspect of your life. Literally, what you, oh man, what's the saying? What you reap, you sow? That's the saying?
Yeah.
I always think I'm saying it backwards. Yeah, what you reap, you sow. Every single thing, and I feel like saying that just sounds so intimidating, but that's just what it is. Like every single thing in your life, you literally reap what you sow, and it's an everyday act. Whatever you choose to do today, you will reap the benefits of later. Wherever you're planting your seeds at, you will reap the benefits of later. That goes with every day. Even just for the simple things of like, okay, in the morning when I wake up, I like to drink tea. So I'm planting the seed of, okay, I'm drinking tea today. How is this going to benefit me later? What am I going to reap from that? Whatever benefits the tea gives me, I don't know. I drink ginger tea. It's supposed to stop bloating. Who knows if that's true? But that's reaping what you sow. Like just the simple act of like every single day. And I really try to tie that into every aspect of my life, because I just know what you do now and what you do every day is showing you where your future is headed. So just taking reaping and sowing, for instance, like I just feel like it's a good practice to use for everyday life, you know, but I feel like it's hard and it's a lot to try to go every day with like, okay, I have to do this so I can get this. But I don't want people to get stuck up on the soul, like just one thing. Oh, I heard it in a sermon earlier. It was so good. It was so, okay. He was basically saying he went to the gym every day for 8 months straight, but he said his sole purpose for going to the gym was to look good. So he planted the seed to go to the gym. and he reaped looking good, but he said that was his sole reason. He said after he went, after he stopped going because his sole reason was to look good, he finally reached a place where he thought he was looking good. He stopped going to the gym. And he said he stopped going because he didn't have no other why. He didn't have no other reason to keep going because his sole reason was to look good. So he stopped going. But what people forget about the gym is you got to maintain that. You will lose it. You will lose it. So if your sole reason is to look good, so you're going to the gym just to look good and then you stop going because you finally feel like you came to a point, you're going to be disappointed because you literally, you have to maintain it. And I feel like that just goes with everything in life. You have to maintain it. You have to have a good, so not saying that can't be a reason. That's what he was saying. He's like, that can't, I mean, not that that cannot be a reason. Like, you can go to the gym and look good, but why is that shouldn't be your sole reason of going, you know? So you need a reason to keep showing up. You need a reason to keep doing the thing that you want to do. And I really like that he said that because, yeah, we make a lot of small things the sole reason of doing something. Then once we stop reaping because we feel like we had enough of it. But then eventually it's just going to come back to bite us because we didn't keep it going. We didn't have a bigger why. That's why we're doing something.
See, I got to touch on everything you just said. Okay, let's start with this. The way you start your morning, that is, you can't tie reaping so into that. Like, I think that is very important. Me, I go to the gym in the morning. And what that helps for me is the gym in general. I'm going to touch on that too. I'm just going to touch on it. The gym, like, it instills discipline in me, helps my mental, stuff like that. So every action you take, like you said, whatever you do, that's going to reap. It's so confusing.
I know.
Every action you sow into your life is going to reap a result.
Yeah.
So for me, the gym, it reaps me with discipline, a mentality to take on hard things, mental and physical strength, and just overall positivity and feeling good throughout the day. If you start your morning off sleeping in past your alarm, you're just laying in bed on your phone, you're most likely gonna reap an unproductive day. So like, it's like you said, like every action you do comes with a result, positive or negative. Okay. Are there any last final thoughts you have about this topic before I get into the best part of the video episode?
No, I feel like I left it all out there. No, this is the next part.
All right. So if you watched before, I end all my episode asking my guests 10 questions so we can get to know them better. So your first question today is, how do you define success for yourself?
I like that question. How do I define success? Let me try not to take too long with this one. Okay. I define success by how I really look at my character when I define success. I used to define the success as in what I do. So how much I'm doing in a day. I'm going to just speak from a day's perspective just to have a success over the day in general. I used to say, oh, what I do is my success. So the more I do, the more successful I feel. But no, really, I define success now by how many kind of mental battles I'm winning, how many battles I'm winning over myself, what I'm producing in my character. I feel like that's how I define success. Or just going for more of a longevity perspective, I do just define success by loving. That's the simplest way I could put it. Loving out loud.
Next question is, what's your dream vacation?
I want to go to Zanzibar. Nobody knows what that is. It's in, I feel like I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's in Africa. I want to go somewhere in Africa, but it's Zanzibar. I don't have no other. I like mountains. I'm more of a mountain girl and forest. It's beautiful there. I want to go to Zanzibar. You got to have to look that up after.
Yeah, I've Never that.
I know everybody says that, but yeah.
What does a perfect day look like for you?
Can I walk my day by day?
Yeah.
Okay. It'll be quick. Perfect day looks like for me. Really, the perfect day looks like waking up and doing whatever I choose to do with the day. I think about that every day. I can't wait. I just want to wake up and do what I want to do without no repercussions. So a perfect day, I'm definitely an early riser, so even the perfect day still in me would be waking up early, for sure. I have to be up before 8. I really like to be up before 7 if I can. But before 8, we'll just start there. Before 8, first thing I have to do, I have to read my Bible. I have to get in something with the word. Just sets the tone. Sets the tone. I got to pray over them bad spirits that try to attack me that day. But, yeah. I'm a tea drinker. I have to have some tea. Oh, this just sounds so lovely. I wish I could do this tomorrow, but I have plans. Drink some tea. And, wow, I thought I had more to say. And then whatever after that, after those three things are done, take my vitamins, after those four things are done, I want to do whatever I want to do with the day. It's always something different. I like riding horses. I like going outside. I love hanging with people. My love language is quality time. So spending time with the people I love, that's all I need. I'm a simple girl. That's the perfect day to me. I want to do it every day. Yeah.
What do you hope to accomplish by the end of the year?
Dang, I have a secret. I can't say that. I'm sorry. I can't say that.
Ooh, don't say the secret.
I have a secret, but I'm definitely going to accomplish it for sure. I got a couple secrets. I'm definitely going to accomplish it for sure. Just know, okay, it's just going to be good. I know I'm going to accomplish it. Like, it's already in the works. It's already given to me. It will be accomplished at the end of the year. Just, I hope to accomplish something life-changing by the end of the year. I'll just say that. I'm so boring.
No, you can't spill the secrets. I respect that.
Not yet.
Okay. What's your favorite movie?
I'm such a movie girl. I go to the movies all the time. I love going to the movies and I love watching movies. I really can't pick one.
Give me your top three.
That's so bad.
I Five.
He's like, hurry up. I love Disney movies. So I like tapping back into my childhood sometimes. So I like Let It Shine. That's a good one. I like Let It Shine. I like this movie called Cloud Nine. I like this movie called Burlesque, which is like, it's like a dance movie. All the movies I love are like inspirational movies where people, I love coming of age movies where people like grow up and do something big. So I love movies like that. So I would say that's my favorite genre though is action. But in my top five list is no action, but my favorite genre is action. I like all of the Equalizers. I like all of John Wicks. I like all of the Divergents. I like all of the Hunger Games. I actually have a lot of movies. I do. We'll just leave it at that. But those are the big ones, yeah, that I can watch over and over again. Yeah.
All right, similar question. What's your favorite show?
Why you keep doing this to me, Nate? Dang. Oh.
I have to get to know my guests better. So does my audience.
Hey. Oh, okay. Bridgerton. Off rip. I just said number one. Look at you. You like, of course, somebody would say Bridgerton. You don't like Bridgerton?
I ain't touched Bridgerton in my life.
You never watched it?
Nah, I don't be binging shows like that. For real, for real.
Yeah, I feel that. But Bridgerton is something you gotta see. Bridgerton, Queen Charlotte, it's like a serious thing. That's a really good show. I'll just say that. Yeah.
I guess I'll add to the list. It's a long list.
I'm sure it is. Bridgerton is only like 8 episodes, though. That's not, I know people
don't
watch. Yeah, they have 2 seasons and they're each like only 8 episodes.
Oh, I can get that done today.
See? Yeah, and they're not that long. Queen Charlotte's only like 8 episodes and it's 1 season.
All right, I'll move it up in the list then.
Okay.
Oh, I hate to do this to you, but what's your favorite song at the moment?
a favorite song. I have a lot of favorite songs at the moment. Actually, I'm sorry, I had to pull my phone out for this one. Don't worry, it's not going to take long. They're all at the top. Because what I do, I literally listen to the same songs on repeat until I get tired of them, then I just change it.
Yep. Story to go.
Yeah, so I have like a top five songs that I listen to over and over again. My songs are boring. Nobody like the songs that I listen to. Okay, we'll start with this one. Beyonce, Yaya. Tyler, Jump. LOL. Ross Gardner, Promises.
I knew that was coming. I knew it.
That one. That one's goody. Yeah. In this artist named Doe. Do you know who Doe is? D-O-E.
I've definitely heard of him.
Yeah, she's a Christian singer. So good. So good. She might be my top right now. She gets me there. Oh, in this song by Kirk Franklin, All Things. Ooh, listen to that in the morning. I'd be in a car like, for real. But yeah, those are my top. I didn't even say a song by her, but she's good. You got to tap into her. She's a singer.
It's a good five. It's a good five.
That's my five.
Where's one place in the world you would never go, even if you're given $1 million to go there?
Jail.
Answer.
I feel like I was supposed to say a state or something, but that's like the first thing that popped in my head. You cannot pay me enough to say to go see. Nah.
When I wrote it down, I was thinking, who's going to be the first person to say hell? I'm patiently waiting for somebody to say that.
I'm mad I didn't say that.
I'm patiently waiting. There's no right or wrong answer, but it's just food for thought.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good question. You got to get them with that one.
What's your biggest fear?
Really just not. I was going to be one of those cliche persons that'd be like, oh, I'm not scared of anything. Deep, 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 deep down, we're all scared of something, even if it's deep, deep down. My biggest fear is not fulfilling my purpose. I don't want to get to the end of my life and not fulfill what I was called to do. Because we all have something. And to get to the end and be like, oh, I wish this, I wish that. No. Whenever I'm faced with an instance where it's like, I know I'll regret this, I always kind of think to the future. Will I wish I did this thing? And is it going to serve God if I do the thing? And that's how I kind of like discern if it's something I should do or not. Hey, I don't want to get to the end and be like, you didn't fulfill what you were supposed to do. You know how sad that is. You know how distraught I would be. Never. That's my biggest fear. Yeah.
All right. Last question is, what is the best advice you've ever been given?
Best advice I've ever been given. Okay, I can say this one. The best advice I've ever been given is I'm not really insecure. I know.
That's a good one. I like that.
Yeah, not really insecure. Because if you think about it, there's only two reasons why you'll be insecure. Over something you can change, over something you can't change. If you can't change it, then just learn to love the thing that you can change. If you can change it, change it. Like, I'm not really insecure. I'm just not. Like, I'm just not changing. That's all it is. If you're insecure, you're just not changing something. So I'm not really insecure.
I think you said that in one of your episodes, because I've definitely heard that before.
Yeah. Yep, that's how I know that's the best advice, because I repeat it all the time. Somebody say something, I'd be like, can you change it? Or, like, for instance, I used to think my nose was so... I said this in the episode, too. I used to say my nose was so big. But I used to be insecure about it. But it's like something I can't change. I'm definitely not getting a nose job. I don't believe in doing any work to my body that was given to me. So I had to learn to love it. I'm not really insecure about it. I'm just not changing. I'm just not choosing to love my nose. You're just not choosing to love the things that you have in your life that you can't change. So yeah, that's the best advice.
Oh, that's it. Dang.
Oh, dang.
Dang. That was weird. Okay. Anything else you want to say before we finish this off?
No. I always have more to say. That's the thing. So when I say no, that's just me stopping myself from adding another hour to your podcast. So no, I said everything.
All right, then. Thank you for joining me again. It was a really good conversation. If you're still watching, thank you for watching. Check out the Curb Podcast Foundation as well. Follow on social media. Follow me on social media. Yeah. Thanks for watching.
Bye.